Well, it says a lot about you to get out on an afternoon like this. I have a lot of strikes against me right now. The time change, so you know you're already tired from that. This time of day, and it's raining outside. So I know I'm going to lose at least two-thirds of you. I know it's going to happen. And if it gets too many people sleeping, I might join you. I don't know. I'm pretty worn out myself. But I am glad to see you, friends. It means a lot that you have come to worship our God. And I do appreciate the visitors that are here with us. That means a lot. Because what I have to share here, in fact, several churches in the Bowling Green area have been very concerned about this work and able to help me in sharing the gospel in other parts of the world. In fact, I appreciate Bruce singing that song and us thinking about getting the gospel out into all of the world, because when you look at what Paul did when he would finish a trip around the world preaching the gospel, one thing he did was he would bring a report back to the saints, and he would edify them with all the progress being made and all the challenges they met. And really, I think to see the hand of God in what they were doing is what brought so much encouragement to those souls. And that's what I think about when I think of reports like this, because I've been very fortunate the last several years, and from what I can tell for the foreseeable future, Lord willing, we'll be able to do this, of going into another part of the world to spread the gospel. And that's especially going to the islands of Samoa. It's a very beautiful part of the world. In fact, it reminds me, or what it must have looked like, what Hawaii must have looked like before it became so commercialized, at least Oahu. Oahu, if you've been there, you know it's pretty, but it's just so crowded, you know, and it's just so developed, overdeveloped, really. And when you go to Samoa, it's the exact opposite. There's only, less than 60,000 people in American Samoa. And then you go to what was Western Samoa, the nation of Samoa now. You'll probably have about 400,000, I think, somewhere in there. And so they're still not as developed. There's not quite a third world country, especially Western Samoa. But you do have parts that you just have extreme poverty there as well. But it's just so pretty there, is what blows me away from it. And when I mention Samoa, I always have to clarify this, okay? I'm not talking about Somalia. Everybody says, oh, you're going to Somalia. You're part Somalian. No. This is what I'm talking about when I mean Samoa. That seems to be the thing that people can connect with. Okay, oh, that's Samoa. Okay, yeah, that's what I mean by that. One lady even asked me, says, oh, is that the people that, the big wrestlers that wear the little diapers? Said, no, not sumo, Samoan. That's where I'm going every year. And it's in the South Pacific. And I am fortunate to be able to go to both, like I said, American Samoa and Western Samoa. And it's funny because the flight between the countries is only a 30-minute flight. I mean, there's only 40 miles apart between the two nations. And yet they're a day apart on the calendar because of the dateline, international dateline going in between them. Now, when I made this chart, this would have been accurate. They were 5 hours behind us, but now they're 6 hours because of the time change today. So actually it's 9 o'clock or almost 9:30 there right now. And in Western Samoa, they're on Monday. Okay, so it's the same time on the clock in both countries when you're there in American Samoa and Samoa, but they're a day apart because of the dateline. And that's always interesting. You know, when you go and you do some work there in Western Samoa and you fly out, and 30 minutes later you might be leaving on a Sunday, but 30 minutes later you're back on Saturday and you get to go through all of that again. And that's, you know, that's interesting and challenging and all that. But it's a wonderful experience. And the reason I'm there is because of this woman right here. That's my mom's from Western Samoa. That's where she was born and raised. Of course, she lives in Texas now, and I was raised in Texas. But she had learned the gospel in Texas. And then, of course, she shared it with us. And one of the people who helped teach her, Keith Sharp, who preaches in Arkansas, has been very close to our family, especially my brothers, my brother Alex, namely. And so Keith has been going there for years to Samoa because my brother lives there. And they've been able to do some work. And so we've pretty much worked out a routine where Keith will go in the wintertime and then I will go in the summertime. And we just kind of alternate like that because we're so dependent on my brother to translate for us. And my brother's a very talented man. He's a representative there in the government of American Samoa. And he speaks three languages, so he really helps us out. And he has the servant's heart. He's very passionate about sharing the gospel. He was serving as an elder at one time, my brother. So he is he's very good for this type of work. But I've been working with Keith. The first year I went, a few years ago, I went with Keith and I. But like I said, now we work it to where we alternate at different parts of the year. And I've been able to take my family with me. I took my daughter last year, and she was able to help teach the women, which is vital in the work that's taking place, especially in Western Samoa. And then the year before that, I was able to take my son, pictured here on the left, last year, who we also had David Vaughn and Jesse Vaughn joining us in this trip. But here's my brother Alex. And this year, Lord will, I get to take my other son with me to preach there. But here's my brother Alex and his wife Winna. And, you know, just I can't say enough about them. We have different fathers, obviously. I mean, but same mother. But, you know, he's been there my entire life from day one. I mean, they were brothers. I mean, it's just we may. It's a long story, but we're just we're brothers. Okay. Different father, same mother. And it's just a wonderful bond and relationship that we have. But here's why the gospel's having so much opportunity there. It's because of these two people right there. I mean, they are doing a lot of good in sharing the gospel in that part of the world. And like I said, we're just so dependent on him in translating for us and in working with the various opportunities that come our way. And another very important person is here on the left, and that's Sister Tui. And Sister Tui is in Western Samoa. Now, what's interesting about her is that she was converted because a few years ago, there was a period of time where both of my brothers lived in American Samoa. And my other brother had a construction company, or at least a renovation company, and he had a man working for him. And he was able to teach that man the gospel and teach that man's wife the gospel. And they eventually took it to Western Samoa and shared it with Sister Tui, the girl's mother. Now, what's remarkable about Sister Tui is that she is the heart and soul of the work that's taken place in Western Samoa. And she is so dedicated to the Lord that she still holds to this gospel, even though her son-in-law and daughter are no longer faithful. So it's just fascinating to hear how the seed got to her and how she's clung to it and held on to it. And this is a living color. This is the real thing of Lydia from the New Testament. When you read about Lydia and her dedication and how she used her resources and her talents to serve the Lord, who was successful in the community as a seller of purple. Well, here's a woman who's a high chief in the village of Vimoso. So she legally has a lot of authority there in Western Samoa. But she has humility and compassion. She takes off the whole time we're there. She closes her shop. She has a shop there in the tourist center at Apia, which was the capital of Western Samoa, because tourism's starting to pick up there. But she closes her shop, and she dedicates her whole time that week to not just shuttling people from all over the island to her home, because we all meet in her home there, but she's there helping with the studies, supporting the studies. I mean, you just can't imagine the success that's taking place there because of the women who are being converted and how she's the nucleus of that. And anytime we have meetings there, this last time we went, it was the largest ever in the meetings they've had there ever since they've been doing this, and they're all taking place in her home, but she's a main factor for that. I mean, this woman will get out and invite, and she will persuade people, and she has a lot of respect, okay? A lot of people respect her in the community. So she has just, she's using her talent to serve the Lord, but the big thing is she is converted from the heart. And she loves the Lord, and she's doing her best. And it's just a remarkable thing to see someone like that. Because that's Lydia. I mean, if you want to read Acts 16, that's Lydia right there in the flesh and blood. But that's, again, not to diminish what Alex and Rowena are doing, because they are really enhancing the work there. In fact, here's a good example of that. This was taken a couple of years ago. But In the picture here, okay, there's a big guy right there. I'm glad to see him go, okay? I don't miss that guy. But here in the middle, you have Malika and her daughter, her firstborn, they named Rowena, out of respect, of course, for my sister-in-law and the good work that they're doing. So I think that's a good testimony for what's happening. And again, like I said, we all meet, and it's not like Sister Two. He's wealthy. I mean, very modest home, very modest standard. It's beautiful. I mean, you have the lush vegetation around it. I mean, just, you know, whatever you think of as far as the tropical, that's what she has there in her yard. It's beautiful, lush. But we meet in her home, and we always have chairs there, and she's even set up this last time. She had a really good screen set up for us to use, because we do PowerPoint over there, and so it's a routine thing. And by the way, that's the way to I love Samoa for this reason, because guys wear skirts, and I can't wait because I get to go back and get a smaller skirt. I mean, it's always a special thing for a guy to get a smaller skirt, but they do. That's the formal attire there. They're called Ias, but it's respectful attire. I mean, if you're going to meet the governor, he's in a skirt. The guys wear skirts in formal attire. And I like that. I really don't see what the problem is here. I mean, that's the way to roll, especially preaching. I mean, wearing a skirt, Doug, trust me, it's the way to go, man. Trust me. It's like, yeah, that's true. In Samoa, yeah. It would not be, yeah, it'd be bad here. But yeah, it is. Anyway, that's respectful attire, and we have good services there in her home. And like I said, the women, it's just amazing to see the women who are being converted to the Lord and the good studies they're having. And that, of course, is why I took my daughter last year, and she was able to help with that. But it's just remarkable the things that are coming about and developing, not only with them, but also with the men, because we'll have studies at the hotel even, with the men coming to see us while we're there and asking all types of good questions the whole time. And so when you have a service, you're just going to have questions afterwards. And that's what I love about it, is it can last for hours just answering various types of questions. Now, when we get to Western Samoa, like I said, you know, they have paved streets and things like that, but you don't drink the water, okay? It's not third world, but it's close in some parts. And the hotel we stay at is a nice hotel. It's clean, but it's outdated by decades compared to what we're used to over here. But, you know, you got to deal with this view every day. When you come out your room, you got to deal with this view and the smell, the citrus smell of all the variety that's there. It's just something else. And this on the balcony, this is what I have to look at every morning going out and having to deal with that view, or these fresh flowers that they pick from the premises there, the hotel. It's just really neat to see God's creativity in that part of the world. But the heart and soul of what we're doing there is working. And we are teaching and preaching, and we're all doing it as a team effort. I'm just watering what's planted and planting for other people to water. And there's always been good success so far in our time there. They don't have a baptistry, so whenever there are people who want to obey the gospel, and every time we've gone so far, there's been a handful that want to do this, we go down to the boat dock. not too far away, and we get into the ocean, and that's where we baptize them. And that water, my son can testify, or daughter can testify, that water is something else. I mean, it's just so pure and clean. It's like looking down in your bathtub. It's that clear. So you're in the water, and we've done this at night. We've done this early in the morning. This particular baptism was done in the morning, and this is a co-worker of Sister Tui there at the visitor center. And when she obeyed the gospel, and here's another young man obeying the gospel, but this was the view after Rebecca obeyed the gospel. The sun was literally coming up, and just as soon as all this happened, it was something remarkable to see. Very beautiful scene. And then we gather, of course, for prayer in the aftermath of all that. But like I said, teaching is why we are there. This is my son who went with me a couple of years ago, and he was able to help teach at both places, both in Samoa and in American Samoa, where this is taken. And, of course, a few other features that were appealing to him, or exciting to him, I should say, attracting to him. Then, of course, I had my daughter with me last year. And what was interesting is that one of the men who was present was starting up a program where he would go into the schools and he would do religious type devotions, I should say, with the students. And he was just starting that up. And he had asked us if we would join him the next day in going into the colleges. That's what they call the high schools there, colleges. So we went in, and he wanted my daughter to speak so that they could hear from her on how to be godly at a young age. And she did a really good job. And because these young students there in Western Samoa, most of them could understand English. Now, that's another thing, is when you go, especially the older crowd, you'll have many who just, they only speak Samoan. But here, the younger people are learning other languages, so they can at least understand English for the most part. And she did a really good job, and then I was able to share a few thoughts with them as well. But what's exciting on the horizon for us is that this year, when I go back, Lord willing, we're going to go to, this is in Western Samoa, we're going to go to the village where my mother was raised and do some teaching there, because this is on the other side of the island that we're at. And we went last year to visit my mother's cousins who are still there. And that was a really neat thing to see. But like I said, they had heard about what we're doing in Vimoso, in Western Samoa, and they want us to come and do those sessions, as they're called there, to come and share in the village there. And so, needless to say, my mother is more than excited, you know, to hear that her sons are taking the gospel back to the village that she's from. And it's just a fascinating thing to think about, of how the Lord is creating all these opportunities for us. And again, absolutely beautiful area. I mean, this is literally across the street from where they live, looking out across into the ocean. And it's just, You know how it is. A picture just doesn't do it justice, and that's just the truth there. But when I think of Western Samoa, I think of several things that stand out to me and lessons from that place. Like I said, one person like Lydia can make a huge difference. If you and I would act like this, we could make a dramatic impact in our community. Look at Lydia in Acts chapter 16. I'll read for you, talking about this woman. And I'll just read for you verses 14 and 15. A woman named Lydia, she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. And then, of course, in verse 40, so they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Now, to me, that's exactly what's happening in Sister Tui's house. I mean, she has proven herself and she has opened her home and she wants to be used like that in serving the Lord. And you can do that. I can do that. One person is all it takes to do great things for the Lord. I think another important lesson to learn from observing the things that I've seen over there, and I'm sure things that you've seen in other areas as well, is that honest people see the truth. And that's true. I mean, if you share the gospel and you don't have to try and alter it in any way, but you just share the truth of God's word, honest people are going to see that. That's what I think Jesus meant when we said this morning that my sheep hear my voice. They know the truth, okay? They hear the truth and they respond to that in following the Lord. And in Acts chapter 13, it says, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And that, of course, is in the setting of people rejecting the gospel. So even though there are people hearing the same message that reject it, you're going to have people there who are honest, who receive it, because of their desire to serve the Lord. And that's just the truth. There's no need for us to try and alter this. There's no need for us to try and improve upon it. Just share the gospel and its truth and its message, and the sincere people are going to hear this. I love the fact that love is the same in any language. These are granddaughters of Sister Tui. But that's the truth. You know, the Bible teaches that what is desired in a man is kindness. In the book of Proverbs, it teaches that. And love is like, it's just universal. It's the same thing. No matter the language, everybody responds to love and everybody loves in the same way because of the way God has made us. And of course, another important lesson I learned over there, because Samoans like to eat, which is why I think it's part of me. I can find good food anywhere. And that's, you being big, people want to throw food at you. And so when I go there, finding a good meal is not hard whatsoever. And I come by it honestly. I really do. Because Samoans like to eat. But I also learned the great lesson that people need teaching. That as sincere as they might be and as sincere as we might be with knowing the gospel and in sharing it, until we actually do that, we haven't accomplished anything. So we have to get out and teach. Whatever vehicle that is of getting this gospel out. Here, of course, it's going and teaching person to person, and we can do this here as well. It's needed here as well. But we can also do it through electronic devices now. I mean, audio versions. We can do all types of things of sharing the gospel, but until we actually do that, okay, until we actually make this message digestible for people, giving them an opportunity to understand, then nobody's going to hear and learn and obey the truth. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, is what it says. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so it says in verse 17 of Romans 10, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the only reason I share that is because I know what it's like, okay? I know what it's like to feel like, okay, I've done so much, I've shared, I've invited, I've done all this, and nothing happens. Nobody's responding to it, okay? I understand that. I understand that struggle. But I share this with you because it's important for us to know that this is the only chance people have of obeying the gospel. You just have to keep broadcasting it. You just have to keep slinging it. And eventually the honest people are going to hear it and they're going to accept it. But we've just got to be in the business of just broadcasting the seed and giving it opportunity, and to not grow discouraged from the so few, especially in our nation, it seems like, so few have this burning desire. Okay, because there is a stark difference. You go over there, people are just, you know, they want more and more and more. And I think we have so many distractions in this nation that keep people from having that burning desire. But we just got to keep going. You know, we've got to keep sending it. We've got to keep sharing it. We've got to keep praying for it. Keep living it and keep our faith in it. Because this is the only way people are going to heaven, is if we share this gospel and give them that opportunity. So that's what it looks like in Apia, the capital of Western Samoa. But like I said, you'll get on the plane, you'll take a little flight, and then you can get to American Samoa. And American Samoa is made up of several islands. The main island is Tutuila, and it's only 75 miles long, and I think the top speed on the whole entire island is 25, I believe. So that's it. I mean, that's as fast as you can go on that island legally. And, you know, they have developed roads. I mean, it's American Samoa, But it's still, there's still a lot of poverty there. But man, is it ever, it's compensated for its beauty. Because when you look at this, I mean, it's like looking at blue Gatorade breaking on the shore. And all of those are coconut trees down there, that if you can see that. And it's just, all you can do is just be amazed at the creativity of our Creator when you go to a place like this, because it's just untouched, like I said. I mean, it's just, it hasn't been destroyed with commercialism. And they don't have a lot of beaches, which I think would probably be a reason why this will never be in a Hawaii. I mean, even though you're starting to have more Europeans come to Samoa, even in the few years I've been going, I've seen an increase this last time of people coming from Australia and New Zealand to come there and visit. You don't have the beaches like Hawaii does, so maybe that may be a reason it's not developing. But once again, we're there to work. And this is the church at Leone in American Samoa. And this is where my brothers attended. Now, my other brother has moved to Texas now. Here's my other brother, David. He was there for many years with his family, but now he's in Texas, in Austin area where my mom is. And so my other brother, Alex, is the only one that remains. But here's what's interesting about the history of the church there in Leone, is that they used to meet here at this place. So years ago, I think it was 2009, they started worshiping with the Leone Church of Christ and developed a relationship there with the people. And what they found out, because they had just moved to American Samoa, my brother's hand, is they found out that the church there, Leone, did not have elders, of course, but they were dependent on these American missionaries, because these American missionaries had been going to the islands for many years these guys have been going there. And they've been doing a good job spreading the gospel, but they've been spreading other things as well. And one of the things they were spreading and still spread is a false concept of the Lord's church and local authority especially. Well, what my brothers found out is the church at Leone was being overseen by an eldership in the States. Okay, there's a church in Georgia that oversees these churches. Well, obviously, when that was made aware to my brothers, they started pointing out to the brethren, look, this is not the pattern. Okay, the pattern is local authority. The elders that are among you, that's the way God designed this. And this concept of a presiding eldership or elders ruling over other churches is not found in the New Testament. Well, you can imagine how that went over with the missionaries. And the missionaries didn't like this threat. And what this has caused me to see is, you know how Jesus was threatened, especially by the Pharisees, but the scribes and Sadducees? And I think one of the reasons why these people were so threatened by Jesus is because their livelihood was affected. That when you start dismantling the Jewish empire, you're starting affecting these people's influence and their livelihood, and Jesus was a major threat to that. Even though they should have had faith, but still, I can see that in the New Testament. Well, this is what's happening here. My brother started talking about this. Well, these missionaries who are living very well, they're living very well by having this work in the islands. I mean, one guy has a house there, has a house in Maui, has a house in the States, and he's doing very well. So here come these other guys coming in saying, no, 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 you're doing this wrong. We don't need to do it this way. Well, you can imagine the response that they would have to this threat. Well, here's, long story short, here's what they did. They decided to mark and avoid, especially my brother Alex, because he was so outspoken on this. So the long-term missionary gathered people together, got this petition together to withdraw from my brother Alex. Even went to people who were no longer members, had them sign it. Even had 12 to 14-year-old boys sign it. They had this long list of people that they had enough votes to withdraw from my brother Alex. Mark and avoid him as a false teacher. Well, they did that. Okay, they were successful. Diotrephes got that round. So they had my brother marked for teaching error. So the church split. And the only people that remained were my brothers and then one other family that stayed there at the congregation. Because here's the problem that other group didn't take into consideration, is that that building was on property that was owned by family. And so there was no way the family was going to expect my brothers to leave. So they had more right to it than this other group. And so they split. So the other group split. They took the treasury with them. Okay, they left. And things were having to start all over there with my brothers and this other family. And they were starting over. Until they came one day to the building, and this is what it looked like. Some disgruntled member that left decided that they were going to settle this matter, this conflict. Couldn't get my brothers out, burn the building down. So that's what they did. They burned the church building down. And so my brothers began to look elsewhere there in the village of Leone. And they found a place that was abandoned across from one of the schools that was a hangout for kids that happened to also be owned by, or at least property owned by, relatives. So they were able to work things out. And they were able to get this building and make some needed changes to it. And they began doing that. They began renovating the building. And this is what it looks like today. And of course, the community is very thankful for it because of the positive image it has now as compared to the old. But they had to start over. Okay, so my brothers and their families, they were starting over. But the church continued to progress. And in fact, I think the first year I went there, this is what it looked like with 42 people present. There have been some changes since then. But at least the truth is being practiced and the truth is being taught. We don't have time. Well, let me see here. I was hoping the singing's phenomenal because they'll sing songs in Samoan language. And then they'll sing some in English as well. But this one particular song, which I don't know if you'll be able to hear or not. It's where they're singing praises and thanking God for all of His blessings. Yeah, I don't think it's going to work out. No, I'm sorry about that. If I would not have been late, I could have set that up and made sure it was working, but it's not. I think a good point to consider is that preeminence is still a big threat in this world. You know, that's what was addressed in the New Testament, where you had Diotrephes in 3 John 9 and 10, who wanted to have power. In fact, he was having the apostles kicked out of the church, if you will. He was having them marked and avoided wrongfully. And so that is a real threat in the work of the Lord. That it says in 3 John 9 and 10, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. So, it happened then, it happens now. It's a real thing. You start messing with people's pocketbooks and they'll turn on you. And this is what, of course, is happening in that part of the world. But fortunately, the truth is being preserved. I think always it's good for us to be reminded of the fact that the Lord's work is always local, that He wants elders in every church, that's evident in the New Testament, but that their oversight is to be limited, to shepherd the flock which is among you, 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3, and to not go beyond that. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. There's no way a church in the States can understand what's happening halfway around the world. You cannot do that. There's just no way you can physically or even spiritually understand what's happening. So there's a lot of wisdom in having oversight locally that's equal among all the elders, and that it does not go beyond that. And when you try to do something else, then all you're going to get is a perverted form of Christianity. Let me show you another example. This is in American Samoa. This is property owned by a Church of Christ in the States, okay? And it is a Church of Christ in one of the villages there in American Samoa. But in the back or around it, you can see the houses. And these houses are allowed for people there to rent very cheaply, or even some of them to live there for free. And keep in mind, this is a poor area. So this is a huge appeal, okay, to people. Well, here's the only condition, if you're going to live there, is that you have to attend there. You can live in one of these houses or rent one of these houses from the church, but you have to go to church there. Now you tell me, where's the authority for that? Where's the authority for us as God's people to try and lure people in through these physical antics and somehow expect them to be converted to the Lord? Where's the authority for that? In fact, I'll say this, where's the faith in the gospel? If you're having to get people to the services simply by deceiving them or pressuring them into attending because of their rent or a place to live, where's the faith in the gospel in matters like this? I think it's always important for us to remember that the work of the Lord is spiritual. We're not here to feed people. We're not here to entertain people. We're not here to clothe people or house people. That's not why the Lord set up the church. The Lord set up the church so that we might have a place for us to come together or a group for us to be a part of where we spread the gospel, where we edify each other in worship, and we edify each other in teaching. That's the work of the church. And whenever we start making it physical, in other words, whenever we start appealing to man's physical side for him to come and hear what the Lord has to say, we've lost faith in the gospel. We no longer believe the gospel is God's power to save. It's our creativity that is going to save man somehow. That's just not the work he has given us. It is not of food and drink. The kingdom's not. Romans 14, 16 and 17. And our job is to teach. That's our primary purpose, is to share this gospel, to help each other, but then to share this gospel. He gave some to the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of saints of what? Of being a landlord? No. For equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And whenever we think we need to do something else, then friends, we've lost faith in the gospel and in the Lord, frankly, is my conviction. And so that's what I would say to you in trying to summarize this briefly about the good work that's going on. And I'm very grateful that the Lord is allowing us to be a part of this and for the brethren who have been able to help me take the gospel to that part of the world. But every service, this is what we see. And actually, this chart is, I give it, put it in Samoan all the way, but here I just put the verses to show what it looks like when we share the gospel. But it's the same gospel in any language. And that is the gospel of forgiveness, which is found in Jesus Christ. And if you're here, you're not a child of God. We always like to give people the opportunity, if you're not a Christian, to become a Christian. It's very simple. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you believe he's the Son of God, you're willing to confess that before men, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Turn it away from your sin, Acts 17 and verse 30, repenting of it. But then being immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2, 38, so on and so forth, then you can become a Christian and you can be set free from sin and you can have the hope of eternal life. That's a beautiful message. And so we'd like to give you that opportunity to obey that gospel if you have not, or if you need to make things right with God in a public way, please respond as we stand and sing.